This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
My shield of faith is, watch this, I won't be hurt. That's my shield of faith. I put that shield of faith up, and then the darts come in that are a bunch of words of hurt. You have to establish a shield of faith. I will not be hurt. So if the shield is what God says about us, and that's what the shield is what God says about us, then when we listen to what other people say about us, we are putting our shield down.
Join us online as we give thanks for all that God has done. Don't miss our special Thanksgiving Day service, Thursday, November 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, streaming worldwide. God's grace has kept us, and we're so grateful for the opportunity to give thanks. Tune in through the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app, YouTube, Facebook, or if you're in the Atlanta area, join us in person. We can't wait to celebrate with you.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let our love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
I like the last part of Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Let's look at that. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. If you're always going around expecting to be hurt, and so even your decisions are governed by your fear of being hurt again, look at what he says here. This is so good. I just didn't even recognize it until recently. He says, "Behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread over to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the ability, power of the enemy." But here's the part, "and nothing shall by any means hurt you." I grab hold of that. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. So I don't have to be afraid of making a decision to protect my future. I don't have to be going around making decisions to protect my feelings, because nothing will by any means hurt you. Say this out loud. Nothing. 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 Shall by any means hurt me. And he told you why at the beginning, because you have authority over hurt. You have authority over the mastery of the enemy. You have authority over demons, serpents and scorpions. You know, that's demonic powers. We kind of don't pay attention to that. Demons and, he's talking about demonic forces that are doing everything they can to hurt you. That's what their job is. They come up with a strategy to try to cause you hurt and try to cause you pain, because every demon in the demon world knows that he can defeat a Christian who fails to use their authority and believe that nothing shall by any means hurt you. And you're looking at too many horror movies and thinking about demons coming out your wall and all that thing and all that, hiding under your bed and all that kind of stuff. And those demons aren't doing that. They're trying to get you to locate the area of your pain and hurt so they can pour salt in that wound. And we still don't believe in demons.
Yeah, he talking about demons. Yeah, I don't believe in demons. Look in the mirror.
When you start acting crazy, look in the mirror. That hurtful thought, that hurtful thought, one of the most powerful weapons that come from demon powers is suggestion. Guess who continues to pull you back to the past? Demons work overtime to try to get you to think all the time about the pain and the hurt of your past, to create a fear to try to paralyze you. We can become people that cannot be defeated, because real destruction in our lives is not going to come from the outside. Real destruction in our lives is going to come from the inside. And same thing with success. Real success is not going to come from the outside. Real success is going to come from the inside. You got to get this. You can't fall in the form and the formulas of the world. And that's what a lot of Christians are doing. You're trying to use their formulas to try to get real success. You know, if you're successful on the inside, that's going to flow out of you and it materialize on the outside. But if you are a failure on the inside, that's going to come out of you and materialize on the outside. Real destruction in our lives. Your life is not destroyed because of what's happening on the outside. Your life is being destroyed because of what you are allowing to happen on the inside. How long have you been carrying that hurt? Your life is being destroyed because of what you won't deal with on the inside. How long have you been carrying that pain? 75 years old, and you're still carrying a 40-year-old pain and hurt, and you're wondering why you're taking all the medications and stuff you're taking, because you're being destroyed, not on the outside. You're being destroyed on the inside. So how can we get to the point where we're never hurt again? Well, there's a right way to get to that point, and then there's a wrong way to get to that point. I always like to start with the wrong way. It amplifies when we talk about the right way. There's a wrong way to try to get to that point where you never hurt again. It's a right way. The wrong way, let me number these so you can keep up with them. Number one, the first wrong way to handle hurt. Now, our natural response to avoid being hurt, watch this, is to do the hurting first. I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me. Some people get on the offense and they do the hurting first. And listen, that is a worldly way of dealing with it. That's the world's solution, hurt first. That's not God's solution. See, the problem with that, with taking the first punch, if you're a Christian, is you're going to reap what you sow. So it's inevitable. If you take the first punch and say, I'm gonna hurt you before you hurt me, then you set yourself up to receive a harvest of hurt you. It comes back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In a sense, you've activated the law. That's not advisable. So don't deal with hurt by saying, I'm going to hurt everybody before they can hurt me. As soon as I can see the signals of hurt, I'm going to do something that hurts you first. That's the wrong way to handle that. Number two, we harden our hearts. Well, this is how I'm going to deal with hurt. I'm just going to harden my heart. I'm not going to let anybody in. I'm just going to harden my heart. I'm just going to just be a hermit, and so I won't get hurt. The problem with having a hard heart is that once it gets hard, you can't hear from God. You can't have meaningful relationships when your heart is hardened. You become a prisoner to your own pain. You spent time hardening your heart against everybody. That's certainly not a way to deal with hurt. What is this, number three? This is really important, number three. We pretend we are really not hurt. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pretend that when I am hurt, that I'm not really hurt. In other words, you will perfect phoniness in pretending that you're not really hurt. And the problem with that is, if you keep walking around pretending that you're not hurt when you really are hurt, then the abuse is going to increase. And say, for example, you're in a marriage and words are spoken and you pretend like those words don't hurt you. Well, they're going to continue. They're going to continue going on because you're trying to pretend that that didn't hurt you. If a wife has been hurt by something her husband said or did, she acts as if it didn't bother her. And she goes around saying, I'm going to be tough. And the problem with that is that if a man thinks that he can get away with something or that it doesn't bother your wife, then he can continue to do it. And this invites more mistreatment and more insensitivity.
on the part of the husband because, you know, he doesn't know that that particular thing bothers you. So that's not a good way to handle hurt. Number four,
we decide, well, hurt is painful. I don't want it. Here's how I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to decide not to trust anymore. I'm just not going to trust anybody anymore. Now, this is a path that I took at one time. I just thought, you know, after my first experience with church, you know, I just assumed that, you know, everybody got saved, we're all saved, we all love each other, and this is going to be like the coolest calling in the world. Everybody's going to love each other, we're going to be love, 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 you know, kumbaya experience, and it was not like that at all. I think I told you this testimony. My first few years in church, I went outside in my garage and sat on a green bucket and negotiated with God. How do I die? How do I get out of this whole situation? This is terrible. So my solution was, I'm not going to trust anybody. And when I married Taffy, she said, be careful, don't create an atmosphere of distrust. Well, I'd already created that atmosphere of distrust. I was just waiting for the next betrayal. I was just waiting for the next, we love you, we thank God for you, and, ooh, watch your mouth, I almost got emotional. I was just amazed at how things were. But you know what happened to me? Because of my decision to try to handle it with just, I'm not going to trust anybody, I became a cynic. I became cynical about everything. And pushed away relationships that could have been beneficial, relationships that could have been a blessing. And that's not the right way to handle it. When you refuse to trust again, it causes you to become cynical and suspicious of everyone that's ever involved in your life, even those that could do you good, even those that could be a blessing to you. And so I need to make sure I clarify something. I'm not saying to put all of your trust in people. That's not what I'm saying. Hear me well now. But to close your heart off and to say, I'm never trusting anyone ever again, may cut you off from godly friends that can be a blessing to your life. So these are wrong responses to being hurt. And you don't deal with them this way. It's not the right way to do it. Take it from me personally, it's not the right way to do it. Thank God I was able to deal with it, and I recognize, well, if there's something about an individual, I trust God. He'll let me know. And he can. You can do the same thing. You can meet people. You know, some of you single people, you go out on a first date, you meet this dude, there'll be signals he didn't even mean to display. God will let you know, nah, this ain't the one. This ain't the one. Well, you gonna call me? I'm gonna call the law first, and then we'll talk about whether or not we're gonna call you. Okay? That's so very important. Now let's look at some steps of how to walk out of this, because this is big time. All right, how do I step into the freedom from hurt? How do I step into the freedom from hurt? Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. This is so good. Number one, take up the shield of faith. Now, for some, that sounds so spiritual. You're telling me that taking up the shield of faith is a way that I can walk out of hurt? Yeah, if you understand what the shield of faith is all about. Most Christians don't. Most Christians are just caught up with the picture of, you know, the armor that goes on somebody, and you're not understanding what the shield of faith is. The Bible says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. A shield of faith where you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. He's talking about words. My shield of faith is, watch this, I won't be hurt. That's my shield of faith. I put that shield of faith up, and then the darts come in that are a bunch of words of hurt. You have to establish a shield of faith. I will not be hurt. So if the shield is what God says about us, and that's what the shield is what God says about us, then when we listen to what other people say about us, we are putting our shield down. See, the shield is what God says about me. I put it up. But I start listening to what other people say about me, then I put the shield down. It causes me pain because I didn't have my shield up. I put what God said about me down, and I receive what other people said about me up. When we put more value on other people's opinions, then we've put the shield down instead of putting the shield up. If you take what God says about you and keep it up, then when those other people's opinions show up, it's not going to bother you because you already have the shield of faith up, and that shield has allowed you to receive all those doubts. They say what they want to say, but you've already said what God wants you to say. As soon as we make what they said more important than what God says, we have lowered our shield of faith. And unfortunately, in the lives of a bunch of Christians, we put down what God says about us or don't understand what God says about us, and we start taking everything else, and it gets to us because we no longer have our shield of faith up. And as a result, whatever they tell us becomes our shield, and what they said isn't enough to protect us. What does God say about you? Don't forget about what He said about you. That is your shield of faith. That's why it's so important to get in the Word. That's why it's so important to get in a church that preaches the Word of God. That's your shield of faith. You've got to know what you have in your armor. You've got to know what you have in your arsenal. You have a shield of faith. And especially today in the time of social media, it's not just seeing this. You've got to know what the Bible says about you. And that's what you hold up in front of everything. The world tells you you're broke. No, my God shall supply. That's my shield of faith. I put my shield up. Sometimes you see the darts coming, but before they reach you, make sure you stick the shield up and say, you can't touch this. That's your shield of faith. Number two, the second way to step into the freedom of hurt. Don't wait for an inspirational moment to give inspirational forgiveness. If you've been hurt by someone, forgive them as an act of faith. Don't go through all this drama of, oh, well, I got to get with them, and then it's got to be the right time. I ain't got to do none of that. If I'll never see you again, between me and God, I am not going to wait for an inspirational forgiveness to bubble up in me. I set my will to forgive. I set my will to forgive. And every day of your life, you decide, I set my will to forgive. Because if I don't set my will to forgive, that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping somebody else will die. I'm not going to wait till I'm inspired to forgive. You don't forgive them because you feel like it. You forgive them because you've made a decision to forgive. Forgiveness is a decision. It is not a feeling. It is a decision. And you can decide every day, I set my will to forgive anybody for anything, no matter what it is. Somebody said, that's bold. No, that's healthy. That's healthy. Sometimes we've thought, if they just apologize or if they just give me an explanation, then I'll forgive them. Don't hold your breath. We say, if they change, then I'll forgive them. See, if you can only forgive them when they've changed, then you didn't forgive, you foresold. What does that mean? It means you sold your forgiveness to them. You didn't give it to them. There's a difference between giving and selling. Giving means you don't have to pay anything for me to forgive you. Selling means you have to change, and then you can buy my forgiveness. Forgiveness is not for sale. Forgiveness is for free. Little lazy clap. Just keep it. God didn't forgive you when you changed. Did you think about that? When most of us were sinners, like we were in hell, didn't have no God on our side, acting like a fool, trying to be cool. God forgave us without any change. Wow. But I tell you, that grace makes you think about stuff. I don't require you to change before I forgive you. I have already forgiven you. Now, you might find out later on that, baby, I forgave you a long time ago. But there's still some people, you know. You change. Here's what happened. God forgave us before we changed. And guess what happened? You changed after he forgave you. That's the thing that brought me to the Lord when I realized God is willing to forgive a fool like me. All the stupid, foolish, crazy, hurtful, painful things he forgave me. Shoot, man, I'm ready to change. Anybody that'll forgive me of that much, my God. I thought about the forgiveness. You know, when God tells us to forgive, you know, somebody, it's compared to like a penny. God says, forgive somebody. It's like a penny. All right. So, in compared to what he did, think about what he did. He forgave every human being that ever came on the planet. And it's compared to, I mean, $50 amount you can't say. And then he's asking you to forgive, and it's a penny. He forgave all of us. Y'all remember how much of a dirty dog you used to be? That nasty self. You remember your nasty, dirty dog? You remember that? Nasty, lying, dirty dog. And I know some of you, I know you sit up here, well, I know, I've never been like that. You used to be a dirty dog with your thoughts then. You might not have said it, but we know dirty was around somewhere. And Jesus took all your nasty and all your dirty dog stuff and forgave you. And now when he asked me to forgive you, it's like a penny. Yes, amen. He's worthy of that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So if you need something, you've got to understand this hurt that you're dealing with, you got to let it go. You don't need anybody to treat you a certain way in order to feel better because of what Jesus has done. It's when it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore what they do because your freedom comes from within. Doesn't matter what somebody does. Doesn't matter what somebody says. They can live, they can just continue to slander, and it doesn't matter. Do you understand that no matter what people tell you, the great hope is still a reality? Jesus is coming back. I don't care how many people tell you he ain't coming back. I don't care how many people say they don't believe that. I don't care how many atheists that you bump into. Jesus, baby, he coming back. He coming back. And that's what motivates me to want to stay saved, because Jesus is coming back. I know one day I'm going to die. It's like you don't know that. You're going to die one day. And you're hoping that what the world told you was true. It ain't. Well, when you die, you're just going to fall asleep. Well, it's going to be a hot sleep. And you know what happened at nighttime when it's hot in a room? It'll wake you up, don't you? I forgot which one of my kids used to say, the hot place, the hot place. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. My great hope is, all right, let me put my checklist out here. There's some things I want to make sure I'm ready. I want to be ready to see him. I don't want to see him knowing that I was supposed to do something and I didn't do it. I want to see him. Everybody in here, you're going to die one day. There used to be people who used to be in here, and they ain't here no more. They're dead. They graveyard dead. And Jesus, thank God, and most of the folks that were in here, they in heaven. Amen. They so glad that they believe. But for you and I, how much of this tomfoolery you think the earth can take?
Old-fashioned notions of what's right for a wife and what's right for a husband don't necessarily stand up to God's word. Creflo Dollar uncovers what the Bible says about equality in the marriage relationship in his four-message series, Grace-Based Relationships, Volume 3, The Equality of Marriage.
If you interpret these scriptures from a worldly base, what you'll have here is a man thinking that he has the right to rule over and dominate a woman, and for a woman to feel like submission is just about oppression. Those who are in Christ, they're heirs together. We stand on equal ground together because of what Jesus did. So if you're going to talk about biblical submission, you must first conclude that it is mutual submission.
The whole series can change your marriage today for a love gift of $25 or more, plus shipping and handling. Go to CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore, or call the number on your screen to claim your copy today.
The Bible teaches us to give generously with a cheerful heart, not out of necessity, but out of a cheerful heart. And that's why I'm so grateful for the friends and partners of this ministry who freely and cheerfully give financial offerings to support us. You understand our vision. You know that when people understand grace, they're empowered to change their lives for the better. Thank you for supporting us with your financial donations. And every time you give, you're being used by God to stop misfortune in someone else's life. And for that, we say thank you. God bless you.
If you want to honor the Lord by sowing financial seeds into Creflo Dollar Ministries, call the number on your screen or log on to CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
Christmas is near, and we invite you to join us for our special Christmas Day service, Saturday, December 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make plans now to join us on December 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in through the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app, YouTube, Facebook, and if you're in the Atlanta area, join us in person. Set your reminder today. We can't wait to celebrate with you.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.